Whether you believe that therapy can redeem someone like Kevin or the other men we've been speaking about may depend on whether you believe people can learn empathy. Researchers at the University of Cambridge published a study in March that suggests subjects' ability to empathize with others had little to do with their genetic makeup and more to do with how they were raised. Empathetic people are made, not born. Many of the men Cheryl and Jennifer counsel experienced emotional, physical, or sexual abuse themselves when they were young. As the therapists often say in group, hurt people hurt people. At sentencing hearings, Cheryl testified to the likelihood that a sex offender can reform based on their history, but there are no guarantees. In October, the Supreme Court will consider a complicated case challenging the federal laws that govern some sex offenders. The decision could allow hundreds of thousands of convicted offenders to move more easily across state lines and eventually remove their names from the sex offender registry. Even if that suit fails, civil rights proponents and victims' advocates will likely confront each other again in the nation's highest court. A Colorado federal judge recently ruled that the state's sex offender registry is unconstitutional. He said the list constitutes cruel and unusual punishment because it can subject these men to ostracism and violence at the hands of the public, and that it fails to properly distinguish between different types of offenses. In an attempt to resolve the tension between public safety and individual redemption, the law has settled on an imperfect compromise. Sex offenders are inscribed on a registry, sometimes permanently, but they are also ordered to attend therapy to get better. The bad men are left in limbo. Inside the small top house, Cheryl and Jennifer work to move through that limbo, one conversation at a time. As the bright winter sun sets and the office grows cold, a group therapy session comes to a close 45 minutes after it was supposed to. The men rise from the worn couch and pull on their coats and hats. One has to head home to meet his parole-mandated curfew. The man with the ankle bracelet needs to charge his battery. They file out slowly, loose floorboards creaking under their feet. Tomorrow, Cheryl and Jennifer might text some of these men to see how they're doing. They might call their wives or bosses or parole officers. They'll review the homework the men have turned in and prep for individual therapy sessions. After those meetings end and the men leave the house for good, Cheryl and Jennifer may never know what becomes of them. Mostly, they hope they won't read about them in the news.